All right. Good afternoon, everyone. It is 1:32 p.m. on Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020. This is a work session on electric vehicle charging stations in particular. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. We also have from staff Mr. John Hsu and Mr. Brian Johnson. So with that said, I don't have any opening comments, Commissioner Fedorchak.
How do you envision walking through the meeting today? Did you have a thought on it?
Well, I'd like to start with, as we get into item number 10, and talk about of the terms. It's on the handout that Jack provided. I do have some questions on that. I'm not fussy on the order, but I have some questions related to that.
Well, I have a number of things I think we should talk about.
Because I think it seems like, okay, this has been presented, I believe, by shareholders, utility shareholders. This is draft language that they would want as a result of our previous conversations that I think they're hoping someone here would carry forward, whether that materializes or not, I think depends on some of the other questions I might have related to it. But for me, a lot of this ties into jurisdiction and how we're defining jurisdiction, or how jurisdiction is defined, and shouldn't necessarily say we. And I think other things flow from that. So again, I'm not fussy on the order, but I think that all of this comes into play in terms of how we view it from a legal jurisdictional standpoint. And if we don't understand that or have a clear understanding of that, I think it makes it difficult to answer maybe some of the other questions I might have. So that's how I envisioned. But again, I'm not fussy on the order. Commissioner Christman or someone wants to go a different route, I think we'll get there either way.
Okay. I wasn't done. That was a question for my opening comments, but I want to make a couple comments.
You're going to have to wait. You're happy to be here.
So I think the purpose of this work session, and did we invite people to participate in this, Jack? Just us?
No.
Okay, so we need to talk about our position on whether, on the definition of public utility and whether, how it applies to electric vehicle charging stations. That's number one. And number two, I think we need to talk about, and I'm not saying we're going to resolve either of these issues, but I think we need to talk about our position on the ownership and utility ownership of electric vehicle charging stations. And then three, I think we also kind of need to talk about if we have a position on the billing of them, of whether it's a kilowatt charge or whether it's time, because all of those issues are discussed in this EV report that the legislature requested from DOT and will probably be matters that come up during the session, and they're issues that we need to grapple with just because they have a lot to do with us on the public utility side and the weights and measures side. So those are the three things I think we need to talk about today.
Commissioner Christman?
I think that pretty well summarizes it, or did you want me to?
No, I just wanted to know if you had a different, to me, again, number one, the jurisdictional aspect determines the second and third parts of the discussion. We could spend as much time as we want on the second and third one, but I don't know where the jurisdictional line is going to fall. So those are some of the questions I'll have in terms of where does that jurisdictional line fall. Will you talk about the other two? I might be somewhat more limited in my comments until I know the first part.
When you talk about jurisdictional line, what do you mean in particular, like the whether or not a charging station is considered a public utility, is that the jurisdictional line you're talking about? Because I think there's jurisdictional lines in all three of these, personally.
That would be a question, and if it does, well, then we can talk about rates. If it doesn't, then we could talk about charging rates all day long, but what's the point if it's not jurisdictional once it hits the charging station itself?
Well, some states have considered it non-jurisdictional for private utilities or private companies and jurisdictional for public utilities. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a mix of approaches that have been taken. And there's, quite honestly, some rationale for everything, mm-hmm. pros and cons to all of it. So in terms of the public utility issue, Jack and Brian, whether if it is a public utility hosting it, that's a different set of questions, in my opinion. The question that I think is open is whether a charging station that's not owned by a private or a utility or co-op, is that a public utility? And I think that would be helpful for us to clarify that if we need to in law or if we can do that on our own.
Sure. I had been working on a memo for this, but we're here. Everything's here now. So technically, you could say it is. I guess it all depends on how you view it, if they're supplying electricity to the general public. Electric vehicle owners aren't the entire public, so there's an argument to be made that they're not supplying to the general public. Most states that have avoided any sort of regulation have said no, they don't meet the definition of public utility.
That they don't,
yes. It's a very specialized group that's receiving electricity, like everybody else is receiving gas. So there's a good argument that could be made that they're not. Again, there's also an argument that could be made that technically they do fit the definition, but I don't think that they're not supplying it to the general public. It's a very, right now, I guess, kind of a niche specialized market. So I don't think, I think there's a good argument that it's not.
In the various states too, I mean, every state has a different definition of what a public utility is or not. And a lot of the ones that have been found in the minority, some with the statutes actually even expressed that this probably would fall under it under the most plain reading, but some of those commissions have found in those cases that this clearly was not contemplated in the law and have omitted it from the regulation as well. So, I mean, there have been a number of reasons why they found that for the most part it's not a public utility. From the rate regulatory aspect of it. For example, would be similar to Brian's interpretation with the providing to the general, the public generally. But they've also found other reasons as well. And I think even when we discussed this in our laws too, we said, I mean, there are about two, three reasons why we'd be able to interpret it not as a public utility. That one just seemed like the most plainly obvious. But I think there was, as Brian said, a little bit of concern from a number of members of the industry, or the public in general and stakeholders, that there was some ambiguity, and that's what this legislation was here to do, was provide that clarity. To follow up that other question you had, Julie, regarding of, well, do we absolutely need this? I think that we could probably provide an advisory opinion, separately. However, it would essentially, we could wrap it up, all the loose ends of that, and have no discussion that would need to be had in the future, or possibility of opening it up if we do just have some legislation, essentially removing them specifically.
So I think this clarifies what my original thought was, that there's some doubt, at least some. And on a whole different topic, but within the last month or so, we've just witnessed a big waste of time and money because there was at least two sides and some ambiguity in the law, and different agencies fought it out, and And so why not clarify it, in my opinion? We know these are coming. Mm-hmm. We could sit here and go back and forth all day on whether they're technically a utility or not, but why not just clarify it? And I also wanted to get in here because I don't want to lose my chance to utter the words, I think I agree with California. But never before uttered, I think. But and this is 7 or 8 years old, so maybe they've changed their mind. But as I understand this article, California has said that electric vehicle stations do not that's a different part. But they banned utilities from owning the public vehicle stations.
But they've gone back on that.
Have they? Oh, mm-hmm. Well, so I agreed with what they used to think. Getting closer. I think we and that's my position, and I thought I've heard that in our previous discussions from others, maybe. But if that's our position, why don't we just clarify it that, A, our regulated utilities should not be entering this competitive arena, which can be competitive if they stay out of it, and B, that then when someone else gets into it, buys the electricity from them and sells it to a customer, that does not make them a utility on their own. And then what I still want to confirm that there's some authority to make sure that we are testing the measuring devices to make sure they're accurate. But that's, I think, for a later part of the conversation. But I really think, and I'm just wondering if there's disagreement with this, that, A, we want people to be able to sell this electricity to EV owners without becoming regulated utilities, and B, I think our current regulated utilities should not be in that business competing with them.
I would modify it just a little bit. I agree. And again, I think it goes back to, well, again, I'll have to defer back to the jurisdictional aspect, but we can circle back to that if we have the other discussions and find out what's relevant or not relevant. I'm fine with that. We'll get there either way. I don't know that I would, under the umbrella of the regulated portion of their business, I would agree with in terms of not owning EV stations. But a lot of these companies diversify. MD is a good example. They have a pipeline segment. They have a construction segment. If they want to have a chain of EV charging stations, I don't know that we can tell a company you can't have that, but that it's not going to flow into the regulated utility division and therefore not be entitled to recovery. I think at the end of all of this, that's the biggest question is, you know, will this or won't this be recoverable? So I think just to modify the language or in terms of not under the umbrella of the regulated utility division. I think companies can do whatever they want after that. I don't think we have the authority to tell them what they can or can't get into. Just that, you know, not a regulated portion. You're on your own. So just that would be my interpretation.
So a couple questions. This draft language, does this, as it's written, take out, like, assume that even a utility, like with number 10, even a utility or co-op operating in the, or setting up a charging station for that purpose is not a public utility?
No, the way I understand this draft language is specified directly to third party.
Okay. All right. So I like that then. Okay. I like it.
Although I couldn't figure out what it was saying either.
I wondered.
I think there's ambiguity in number 10.
Sure. If you look up I mean, there are different definitions. If you look above, there's electric provider that means an electric pub utility or a rural electric cooperative. It creates some sort of differentiation between it.
The other thing to what you guys were both saying in terms of the utilities not owning the charging stations, I mean, I do have concerns that that would create a pretty big barrier for non-utility private sector involvement, because obviously how can you compete with a power company that can charge whatever rate? So, but there are a few options that other states have done in terms of they've kept them regulated so that they can see what rates they're charging and make sure that they're not being anti-competitive. So that would be one option to get after that. I think this is a much bigger policy discussion that the legislature needs to have, and I don't think that we have are the right venue for it, because there's a lot of different public policy issues in mixed in this. But we'll be asked what we think about it, obviously, and then, you know, if your goal is to support the development of these charging stations and get them out there, and that's a legislative discussion. But there's advantages to the utilities being involved in that, because they can make it happen quicker with, you know, so the barriers to entry are lower for them. And then the issue that really needs to be wrestled by the legislature on this particular piece is, you know, if we say public utilities, like investor-owned utilities, shouldn't be able to sell, operate charging stations, what about the co-ops? I think there already are co-op charging stations. I've been told there are.
Yeah, there are.
So, you know, then what? I mean, that's not, like, if the co-ops can do it, then I think that it's pretty hard to have allow the investor-owns or disallow the investor-owns from doing it, just from I can't think of the argument that they should be treated differently in this venue. So that's all to say, I think that the issue of the owner, whether or not investor-owned and co-op, co-ops should be allowed to own the charging stations, is something that should be debated at the legislature, at the legislative level.
I anticipate it will be, but I think we're likely to be have people inquire what we think,
right,
of it, because we work with these, and I don't have as, I mean, it is somewhat concerning, but I don't have a great deal of concern with the differentiation between that. We don't regulate electric co-ops. The legislature could prohibit them from doing it, but if they don't, I sure hope that they do with the investor-owned utilities.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things that are different about them. The co-ops don't have to go through a whole rate case to change their rates, and there's, you know, all kinds of differences. But
they could undercut the market just as well, because they're generating them.
They could, if the legislature doesn't intervene, I expect it's going to be a problem at some point. But that's the legislature's issue. Working with these investor-owned utilities is ours, at least to advise if asked. And can you imagine the battles when the utility gets into this business, and now, you know, the truck stop or convenience store or just a new potential provider wants service, but doesn't feel like the company's getting them the electricity they need to sell fast enough, because they feel they're holding out because they're already in the business. It's going to be a competitive environment, and I just don't think that is what we want regulated utilities doing. They're supposed to be in the business of providing this electricity, not in this automobile powering business, I think.
Yeah.
I think the control mechanism on our end in terms of having a public utility, publicly owned utility, undermine the market, so to speak, they're still going to have to provide the power that they generate or through open market purchases to that charging station, and we regulate those rates. So if they come in and say, well, we're just going to undercut the market significantly, so you can charge here for little or nothing, and they can, in effect, create a monopoly over the years, we control that through the rate mechanisms. Like, no, you've got to charge this. And there are enough checks and balances when you have to form a separate division, which they would, to own charging stations, which I think they should be allowed to. I don't think we have the authority to say they can't create a new corporate division to do this. But our control mechanism is on rate. So, I mean, if they're willing to lose hand over fist, then you get into antitrust laws and a number of other things that competitors could certainly bring forward in not this venue, but other legal venues. So I think, yeah, this isn't the first time something like this has happened. And there are checks and balances that aren't always perfect, but pretty solid. I'm not talking electrically speaking. I'm talking with anything, whether it's fast food chains or whether it's gas stations, whatever it might be.
These are two minor things I just like to point out, and it isn't just the public utility shareholders, but it is also the rural electrical cooperatives, and Zach provided this in the initial draft to me. The other thing I would like to I just kind of specify, and so you brought up there is a little bit of ambiguity. There's two types of ambiguity. There's from the regulatory side, Brian and I taking a look at it and saying, we're sure, and you saying you're sure, and then there's the opposite side where investors are looking in to partake in the market, and they're being sure that of where you are. And so I think, and Brian, correct me or if you disagree with me, but based upon our discussions, we feel very comfortable that we know exactly where probably our jurisdiction is on this. But from the external side, from investors looking in, having that statutory certainty for investors provides us a different type of absolute clarity from how they look at things as well. And I think that's part of the reason for this is to capture that.
So if this were to pass as legislation, mm-hmm. the end result would be that a convenience store or someone could set up, they could sell electricity by the kilowatt and acquire it from either an electric cooperative or one of our investor-owned utilities and go about their business, and the investor-owned utilities could not provide that service, or they could with this?
This has nothing to do with co-ops or utilities except for the fact that when a third party comes in, they can allow that third party to resell that electricity to electric vehicles subject to the co-op's terms or the public utilities terms.
Okay.
And the resale of power is something that can be done right now without this change. It's all it has to be done is the tariff has to be changed to reflect that they can sell power to somebody that's then going to sell it to somebody else. I can't remember exactly where that's at, but when I started looking at this, I got to the fact that for them to resell power, we wouldn't have to do any sort of legislative change. It's already built into the tariff process where their tariff can be amended and they're allowed to sell power to somebody that can sell it to somebody else.
But as the initial step then, I think this, you know, gets back to the point you were emphasizing for clarity's sake. If this were to pass so that it is clear to everybody that all these people that are in the business of attracting motorists to their site to get some money out of them can go ahead and develop some charging stations and sell that electricity. I like that.
But I do think the last line is not what Randy is saying. I think that last line says that an electric provider itself can set up charging stations.
So when I read that last line, I read it as in this section does not apply. ever have anything to do with that.
Drew, to limit the ability of an electric provider to use electric vehicle charging stations to furnish electricity for charging electric vehicles.
Right. No, so nothing within this section specifically.
So they'd still be able to.
They, yeah. Right, nothing for this has this does not foreclose upon there. It does not say they absolutely can
right.
as well.
But nothing else in the law prevents them from doing that either. So as the law stands now, they can.
Yeah, as
I,
the law,
mean, I would assume they all think that because Ottertail and Nextel are making plans for it. So I'm sure that they've looked at the law and feel that they can develop charging stations.
I guess my view of probably the current state of things is they would have the ability. Well, there probably is some provision in the laws of to what extent utilities can really extend their infrastructure. We do have a substantial amount of regulatory authority over corporate structures of utilities, over to what extent they can expand their facilities and any sort of additional capital additions. However, regardless of that, whether if you want to take a more proactive approach on that, within our authority, we could also be more reactive and allow them for an opportunity to bring a case in front of you, have all the facts, and just disallow them and say this is not a rate-based item. And ultimately, that all could result in a specifying that we would like this to be moved out into a separated operating company as well. As we're currently situated, statutorily.
Okay. So that's how we would deal with a case today. Because Ottertail has a pretty kind of a defined plan already laid out. They presented to us at the last work session on this topic. Do you remember that?
I do recall that.
Yeah. I mean, they've identified some locations and everything. And they're calling it a pilot. Let's see. Maybe it's not as well laid out in North Dakota. I might have gotten that confused. But anyway, so if they were to move forward and say we want to move forward this in North Dakota and here's our plan, then we'd look at it and say Ottertail appreciates the NDPSC interest in EVs and seeks guidance on the building and the cost recovery of basic EV infrastructure.
Ottertail definitely wants. I remembered it differently. I have in my notes that XL said they don't want to compete with convenience stores.
They don't, but then we got a news release from them maybe a month after that talking about their plans for EV infrastructure three states. So
it is worth noting, though, too, that under, I believe, in the Minnesota statutes, they actually encourage utility ownership under situation, under PSC oversight, whereas our laws do not have such a thing. We fall back to our least cost qualitative planning.
And that's where the public policy comes in, because there's, a fair amount of evidence out there that if the goal of the state is to encourage the development of EVs, the gas station, because there's so few of them, they can't afford the infrastructure on the front end. It doesn't pay off quick enough because there's not enough. So it's like the chicken and the egg. So you have to have some of these bigger companies out there. I'm just going, but, I've tried to do as much reading about what other states are doing and how they're handling it and what the issues are prior to this meeting. And so that's the argument, is that you're not going to get the gas station owners because you won't get they can't recover the costs. And then if there's not enough stations, then people won't buy the vehicles, and it's just a vicious cycle. Yeah. So,
And that, you sum it up well. That is the hurdle.
Let's see.
And until there's lots more electric vehicles, this is not going to be any more profitable for these utilities than it would be for those convenience stores. If the state wants to encourage the build-out, then the state should subsidize the build-out, not rely on us to let the utilities subsidize it, and that we're going to be the three who sit here and pass those costs on to the ratepayers that the state in general didn't want to pass on to the taxpayers. That is why I find it so objectionable. And if if they have a subsidiary, if they want their pipeline company to expand into the convenience store business, I don't object to that. I'm talking about the regulated part. They should, I presume at some point, they'll need to build into their tariffs what their electric cost is going to be for providing service to people who are in the electric charging business, whether that's their subsidiary or some other competitor, but each will get the same rate through our tariffs, and let whoever build out. And then they can subsidize it through the investor-funded portion of their business, or other competitors can.
I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with that approach, too. That would require a change in law, correct?
Which specifically? Which item specifically?
So what these guys are talking about in terms of having it requiring that the utilities, if they want to be involved, it has to be a non-regulated subsidiary.
You're saying we need a statutory change to say that this is not included in rate base, or to spin it off?
Well, that they can't bring it forward to us in a case like you guys are suggesting.
Well, to say they can't bring it forward, that's one thing. The authority for you guys to say that this is not a rate base item, there's not going to be cross subsidization, and we would like this to be not part of your public utility corporate structure. Arguably, you guys would have the authority to do that.
Oh, we would. Okay, that's what you were saying earlier.
Right, sure. That's what I was saying earlier. This actually shares a lot of similarities to the smaller town subsidies that they're providing to local businesses. I think this was a decade ago. I think Otter Tail was doing that. Or when the commission reviewed that, we ultimately decided, yeah, you can do that, but our ratepayers are going to pay for that. So, of course, the costs then shift to the shareholders, and those are borne by the shareholders as opposed to the ratepayers. I'm not sure if they're still doing that or not anymore, but they certainly could be, and our customers are just not paying for it.
You're talking about implementation of what?
There was a program where they essentially, I'm not sure if they provided a grant or some additional financial incentives to small towns to help grow their businesses in the area. And I think the concept was you would encourage additional loads to be developed in those areas to help the broader system. And I think for a period of time, the commission actually allowed them. But I think 10 to 15 years ago, we stopped for good reason, for this exact reason. And I'd have to dig that all up because I think I just read it in passing, but I'm just generally aware of it.
Yeah. Well, the charging stations that are going in now are all a part of the Volkswagen settlement. They're all subsidized. And we've heard that actually from several of the entities that have put them in, that they would never have been able to put them in, or they just would have lost a lot of money putting them in if it weren't for the grant program. But
I believe, and I know, Brian, you were heavily involved with this too. I'm not sure to the extent that all of those EV charging stations are, though. I think the Volkswagen grant money in the state of North Dakota was along those main highway corridors. So some of these areas were, I think, Otter Tail, and again, I may not be right about this. I think a lot of those areas, I'm not sure those would be, they received the Volkswagen money.
I think I heard it differently, but
you could be right.
I can double check.
This is for just my general thoughts. I don't know if you heard differently than that too.
I mean, the map exists in this document,
right,
of all the existing charging stations.
Right.
There are 17 that were put in by the Volkswagen money. All along the interstates.
So where to from? Would we continue to have the ability to deny recovery of costs for setting these up if this legislation passed with that last two lines in there?
I don't see how this does not seem to me to have any sort of overlap with a rate recovery in that area of regulation. Okay. This is really geared towards the reselling of electricity that's provided from these electric providers.
Nothing in this subsection. What is the point of that? Tell me, use different words and tell me what the point of that is. Why is it needed in this?
It probably is not absolutely needed in here. It's probably just to ensure that this really has no bearing on decision making on those other items. So we're saying these are solely the people who are able to resell electricity. I think they're concerned with that because I think a lot of the utilities would like to still make that argument that they would be able to do so.
Okay. So what you're saying is just because we're defining this, that doesn't mean these are the only people that can provide.
Right.
Okay.
Are there any other instances of the resale of electricity? I mean, anything else that's out there? Whether it's a cell phone charging station, I think they're all free. I've never seen one that's being, you know, where consumers are charged. But is there anything else out there that, you know, as the world moves toward different energy sources, but, you know, leans more on electricity, is there anything else out there that we might want to consider long term? I can't think of anything, but it crossed my mind.
Didn't we hear about some, like, mobile home parks out in the Bakken doing that during the boom? I'm not sure if it's still going on, but I thought we had heard about some of those.
Okay.
Victor, I'm not sure if that was electricity. That might have been gas or propane.
That was more common, but I know we had at least one, if not multiple, instances of someone, you know, like a owner of one of these parks purchasing a whole bunch of meters and attempting to sell meter and resell.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I do remember that. Okay. So this language, is this shows my lack of law degree, but I just thought when I was thinking about changing this, I thought we could just say something under number point two, electric public utility means a privately owned supplier of electricity offering to suppliers supplying electricity to the general public, period. This does not apply to electric vehicle charging stations. And call it good. But so I'm, these other things must address issues that have come up.
Yes, I think,
like, immovable. There was portable machines, obviously. Charging stations.
There are. There's. It's probably more of a service, like a tow service. They can tow a generator around. So if you're run out of battery alongside the road, they pull up with that, fire up the generator. So you have a gas powered car pulling a gas powered generator, charging an electric vehicle.
You'd want to allow that though too. That shouldn't be a public utility, right? I mean, if you're stuck out there and need a charge,
yeah,
what else are you going to do? Tow them in?
That would be the only other option, because you can't, it's not like you can jump it, and the only way to get it going again is to put a charge into it, and you do need a pretty sizable source to do that, because if you plug a Tesla into a normal outlet, it will charge, but it takes days, you know, several days to even get enough to move it a few miles. So that is something that, I guess, would be a benefit to electric vehicle owners. Rather than having to have it towed somewhere, you can sit there and have it charged and then get it somewhere else.
So do we have to have these things? Is having it mobile a problem?
I'm not sure the benefit of that one specifically. I definitely see the benefit of sub B. These resale electricity is exclusively for the charging of electrical vehicle stations, because there would be the opportunity for someone then to essentially distribute it off from their charging station to functionally do something else, which by most definitions would be a public utility. And so if you just said electrical vehicle charging station, and subsequently they're also just providing some additional service outside of that, I'm assuming that at that point we'd actually want to do some regulation. But yeah, I guess to the extent the movable, immovable, I'm not sure the importance of that. I can't imagine that there would be any sort of, even if there was a movable transportation of a generation to charge up a vehicle, that would ever be a public utility by any means. unless you have a movable large-scale generation to supply a locality.
Aren't there thresholds already in place on the public utility side in terms of volume, related to volume of electricity sold? I thought I just was looking at code somewhere and saw that.
At least not under, that I'm aware of, under our statutory framework.
I don't know.
You know what I'm thinking, looking at, I was looking at net metering language.
Right, there is that for that.
I'm guessing Carly is sitting at home dying to talk right now.
My guess is most of these things are stolen from other states, and what everybody else did, rather than reinvent the wheel, you just grab what they did
right.
in Colorado and
yeah.
make it work for you. My guess is the charging station is movable, might have come from somewhere, or the reason for it was they were trying to deal with skirting or making sure it was clear that they're not an electric public utility who's producing power for resale. It's a sub-level of the exclusion underneath what is a public utility or a public electric public utility.
And to the extent they can, that it's a vehicle that can be kind of quickly charged and, you know, runs out of power in the middle somewhere and just needs a little charging to get to a charger. I presume for anywhere as close to some reasonable amount, nobody's going to drag a movable charger out there and then only charge for the electricity. It's going to be more of the service fee that I'll be out there and it's $75 to get you going. Or something like that.
True.
So here's one of the questions, and I think you just answered it. I didn't see anything that really suggested otherwise, and I think it pushed it the other way. But when I read number 10, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't the beginning of something we're not going to be happy with down the road, or the camel's nose under the tent type scenario. And also that there are enough vagaries in law that in some way, shape, or form, this isn't already covered. And we're not just, you know, it's not just the creation of additional language that really isn't necessary, because the burning or the prime question that the utilities have, and the biggest question I can guarantee is it recoverable? And if they know it's not recoverable, then they've got direction different than Minnesota, it sounds like, but we're not Minnesota, thankfully. And they'll approach it in a different way in the state of North Dakota.
I guess for a good starting point, it'd be good just to know, because so we're coming up to our deadline as it is, and to see if this is something that you guys would like even to entertain. If you could, Brian and I could sit down and work on it, and we'll talk with Carly and Zach and try to hash out some language that we think is kind of actually captures everyone's concerns. Might not even need to have any big changes from this, but see if this is even
sure.
something you want to move forward with and to try to even explore.
I think it's worthwhile clarifying it
okay.
as simply as possible.
Sure.
Why wouldn't the utilities, I mean, granted, they could argue, well, we're finding you, but since they're the ones who have the skin in the game here, something about it just seems, I have mixed feelings on having utilities bring something forward and then having the commission put it, you know, forward to the legislature. And then I just can't help but think that we're going to have some conflicts when we get into rate cases, and I just want to make sure that we're not, you know, where it comes back, well, you introduced it.
We yeah. asked them to bring this forward, though.
Right.
I mean, so.
But to us to present, though? That's not
well,
how I remember it.
I mean, we didn't get that far, I guess. I would just ask for their ideas and how we should deal with this.
I think it's kind of, I appreciate that we have this kind of a good relationship with them, that they want to work with us this way. Because this is dicey and, you know, it's something new. We don't know exactly how things are going to play out. I kind of like in this case, if we can be pretty generally on the same terms of putting something together and submit it, it means that we're going to get our opportunity to talk on it at committee hearings as opposed to being the 14th person in line in a crowded group, you know.
They move us out.
We're the ones who have to live and work with this. If things are done poorly, we're the ones who have to pass these costs on to people and get the blame. I really like, as long as we're generally on the same page, the idea of us handling this.
I'm fine too with that, and maybe but maybe to bring all of us on board, we just have you guys go through this and with them, like you suggested, Jack, and see if there's any clarifications or tweaks to address some of what Brian's concerned about.
So the last sentence, nothing in this subsection may be construed, et cetera, as to limit the ability. What if it also said something, nothing in the subsection may be construed as to the ability of utilities, regulated utilities, to receive recovery?
I would think if there are some concerns with that language, we may be able, I think we could find some language that would probably be, make everyone a little more comfortable to still have the same functional impact.
Did you have a follow-up on that?
No.
Okay. I have one more kind of an aside, but on this potential bill. If there is, I mean, assuming, regardless of what the utilities end up being able to do, this does allow for a convenience store or something to get into this business. If there is any doubt about whether our weights and measures has jurisdiction to do something to make sure that those are accurate when they're selling electricity, then I think that should also be added to make clear. And then I don't know if Conrad has ever checked into it. Someone must be testing these kinds of meters somewhere.
Yeah.
Is that expensive equipment? Could our inspectors do it, or does it require electricians to do it? Or we should just click, because if we need some money to do it, then we should know it. Include it in the bill.
He has checked into that. I've heard him talk about it. I don't recall now what it is, but
I thought too. I remember him talking about.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, and in here, it's he managed to get included a little note that if the something to the effect of it should be determined if charging per time at EV stations conflicts with, wait, no, that's different. Where is it? Oh, according to the PSC, which regulates Title 64's calibration of state weights and measure standards, the growth of EV charging stations shown in the various maps in this committee report may require the agency to obtain additional equipment and staffing to provide regulatory oversight for an equitable transaction. So he and Jack have been working.
You thought about that. And as it currently stands right now, we feel very comfortable thinking that we have weights and measures, regulatory oversight. Handbook 44 covers electric vehicle charging stations.
Okay, very good.
We might need a rule change. That's about the extent of it, though.
Will we need money? Is the testing equipment expensive, or is it just part of what we do?
I do recall discussing it, but I don't want to speak off the cuff about how much it would actually cost for testing equipment. We would need additional equipment, though.
Equipment, training, et cetera.
Well, I mean, if it's a few hundred dollars, then it's one thing. If it's
more than that,
$10,000 or $20,000, then they should deal with it.
Conrad had the numbers at one point in time, so he's got them. I don't remember what they are, though. I thought it was on the pricey side.
Well, now I feel bad. I told him he probably didn't need to be at this meeting, and then we immediately went and told him and started
Conrad
talking to
everybody
about
this. Absolutely needed to know.
Well, we can point that out. That's one of the benefits of sponsoring the bill.
Yeah.
If something develops as we go, we add that to it, you know. But this would be a separate bill. We're not talking about attaching this to one of the ones we've previously discussed, right? Because I can't think of a match.
This would have to be a separate one at this point.
Good, because I think it should be.
Publicly traded utilities cannot deny service, correct? Let's say they jump into the EV charging station, MDU puts them up in Bismarck, and then someone else wants to put in charging stations, you know, at a point where there's so many electric vehicles on the road 10, 15, 20 years down the road, MDU has to provide service to them, correct? If that is within their defined territory.
Within their franchise service territory.
At a fair and just rate, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep, subject to the tariffs that we approve.
Yeah.
Because they would otherwise hold the keys to the castle and who could, you know, that could create a barrier of entry to market. So I assume that was the case, but never hurts to ask. Okay, what else do we have?
Jack, would it be clearer to the investor-owned utilities that would it be clearer to them and help provide better direction as they pursue their plans to have it spelled out that that we view the ownership of electric charging stations to be something that should be by a non-regulated division? I mean, I'm just thinking, like, they're working, they go through all this to develop these plans and come up with it, and then they bring it all forward, and then they find out from us that we don't think it's appropriate, and then they, do they just...
Sure, as in they're unable to own this, or whether as part of their public utility, I guess, capital, or whether this is a non-rate base item. There may be a benefit on the front end for planning if you would like to do that.
I don't know. I guess maybe we can have that discussion as we go with this bill, but...
On the other hand, sometimes it's nice to have the record all presented to you to really flesh out all the different policy differences and the reasons for or against it before you guys make a foregone conclusion. That is a real benefit of actually receiving in the opposite and not providing an advisory on the front end is you actually see how it's being applied
and
the impacts. And other stakeholders or there's a person who has an outside interest, they'd be able to intervene in the process as well to make a case on that.
Okay.
It'll be interesting if various players in this hearing the discussion that at least in part, if not, you know, if there's not a part consensus, full consensus, however that lands right now, don't have to take a poll or a vote, but knowing that recovery may not or isn't likely to happen, you know, through the utility division, if they'll have a change of heart on some of this. I don't know.
They could always come up to it.
They could always come forward and ask for advanced determination as well. They've done that on a number of things if they really have concerns about expending capital and subsequently getting disallowed.
Mm-hmm. So you are going, and Brian and Jack, you're going to work on some language that can be reviewed at, but we're moving. We have to what, Friday?
Yeah.
I think regarding this particular section, we'll probably need to have another meeting to discuss it again. Between now and Friday.
Okay.
It may not need to be long if
you
we
just
can.
Just really like us.
A little bit.
But less and less all the time this week, right?
The more we meet together, the less appealing we become.
But
if we can, one request would be like an E under number 10. Nothing in this subsection may be construed as to the intent of the commission to provide recovery. I mean, the day may come 20 years down the road if everyone's got an electric vehicle, and whether that happens or not, and then it really becomes like another meter on your house, essentially. Yeah, maybe the world changes at some point in time, but it's going to be a long way off. I'll still be taking the horse and buggy.
Can you hear me?
Oh, Pat, yes.
Yeah. I just had a thought about, you know, from the utilities point of view, I'm thinking maybe they're thinking that a charging station is a customer, but it, in the case where they own the charging station, then the end user is their customer. You know, the vehicle owner is their customer. So maybe they see it as selling electricity to customers. Just a thought. That's all.
Okay.
No. We're thinking, Pat. Thank you. Well, yeah, I mean, I would agree with Pat that that's probably how they're viewing it. Then the policy, public policy question becomes, you know, what about the gas stations? That's why I think this is a legislative discussion, because it's a shift from a new, you know, one business to another, and there's some discussions there that should, some things that should be considered.
And we know from what's happened in the gas station and truck stop business, and I cannot see the likelihood that if this becomes a significant portion of our motoring public's use, that this will be any different. But, I mean, their big money is not in getting those vehicles prepared to go the next part of the journey. The money is in getting you to stop there, and now you buy your supplies, you buy all kinds of stuff. They make comfortable accommodations for a break on the road and such. And that's big business. It's huge business. And I just don't want these regulated utilities to get the arms up on as those existing ones who are centered around petroleum-based products. As that evolves, now suddenly, rather than just evolving by getting charging stations, no, the charging stations are already set up by the utility company, and they've built the infrastructure around it, and now you can't make the evolution anymore because it's already there.
How does it work with a hotel like Element Hotel in Fargo? They have charging stations. It's built into your rate, your hotel rate. You're being charged. People, you know, make it, you know, it's a smart marketing strategy at this point, because you do get the hotel, you know, you do pay for the hotel room. Plug your car in for the night, go on your merry way the next day. So they're reselling the electricity through the fee they charge for that hotel room. I don't know if it's a blanket, it's just everyone who stays at Element has to pay a surcharge to support that, or how it works, but things like that I think are worth considering in terms of how, because there are a lot of places where you can go, and I was out on the West Coast here not that long ago, and it's pretty common to go into even, I think it was like a Lowe's parking lot or something, and they've got charging stations.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about, that's a very good point. As I sit here and think now, you know, when I used to stay here for legislature and stay in a hotel for 4 months, and I made sure and picked a hotel where there were outlets outside, because I didn't want to go all those months without being able to plug my pickup in. And I guess I just would generally say if I would find out about a hotel that charges a different rate. Now, I'm not talking about charging electric vehicles, but even just for plugging in your head bolt heater overnight. If they charge a different rate for people that are going to plug their car in as opposed to people who aren't, I think they have kind of ventured into being in the electric sales business, and inappropriately. And so I think about it with same with charging. If it's just something you get while you're there, whether you use it or not, I don't know that they're really reselling it. But if they charge something for it, then they're reselling.
It's like the pool. Whether you use it or not, it's built into the rate.
We have Conrad here, so maybe he could talk about the cost for the new equipment quickly.
Do we want to hear from Carly, who has some thoughts that could clarify some things that we've discussed, or do we want to take that through you, Jack, and your guys' discussion?
Well, that's at the prerogative of the commission, whatever you prefer to do.
I got the... I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Is she on? Is there a public... She's listening, but I don't know if it's a...
She's probably on the open voice, Matt.
Who's that?
Carly.
Is she there?
You want to open it so she can talk?
Hello, Carly?
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, good. I'm coming through.
You're louder.
Loud and clear.
I got very loud. Thank you so much, commissioners and staff, for just giving me a second to clarify. You raised some great questions and concerns, and I was just thinking that perhaps it wasn't clear that Section 10 basically sets an exclusion for what the definition is of electric public utility and rural electric cooperative, and that exclusion is limited to people who resell electricity that they're already buying from, whichever utility has the territory there, for electric charging of vehicles that are stationary, and then that would be subject to whatever that relationship is that they have with that incumbent utility. None of this is supposed to expand it or detract from what the commission can do, and in fact, if whatever authority you currently have to regulate an electric public utility or a rural electric cooperative, you would still have under all other provisions of the law. This just means that anyone who would have that question, who owns a service station and says, I want to put in a charging station, I'm going to sell electricity, does this make me a utility that has to be regulated? If they meet A, B, and C, and D, they are not a utility that has to be regulated. Your regulatory power comes in above that with whichever the incumbent utility is. So it's not about granting extra power to a utility to expand, to own infrastructure. It's just clarifying that you can own an electric vehicle charging station as whatever entity you are and not have to be a utility. Does that clear any of this up?
I think it's very helpful.
It does for me, yeah. Thank you. And then the last sentence, too, do you have any more clear? What's the purpose of the last sentence?
You know, that's a good question. I actually didn't draft this. This came from Zach with the co-op. And this last section to me is kind of your catch-all phrase to say, hey, we excluded or we put in the term that limits what a utility is, and now we're saying, but if we, you know, inadvertently put anything that would limit what a utility or a co-op could do, we didn't mean to do that. I don't think we're going to get too excited about keeping that in or taking it out from my standpoint. But I, you know, it's a decent catch-all. But if you have concerns, I'm not gonna fight for it.
Carly, I think that I mean I can certainly understand where it's coming from because it's written very much from the utility standpoint. When I think about it from writing from the commission standpoint, though, I'm sure we could also put some additional language. We could take it out entirely, or we could put some additional language specifying that it does not limit our authority to make such determinations as well.
Absolutely.
In addition to that as well.
Yeah.
Would you think you'd
be? Absolutely, whatever you need.
Sure. Okay.
Very good.
Yep.
Sounds like it's a good project for staff, and we're kind of on the same page.
So, thank you.
Awesome.
I will mute myself again if you want.
Thank you, Carly.
Thanks, Carly.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's
okay.
It's a good perspective to know. And I would agree. I mean, we certainly don't want to limit the ability for anyone to engage in this business, but from a regulated utility. So it's just we're careful that we're not implying that they will get recovery, because then they would have a significant competitive advantage over co-ops and other entities that may want to get into this. So.
Two things I just want to make sure that I'm volunteering. So we have Beth, Brian, and I have direction to move forward. We'll just bring Pat in the loop on this, and work with Carly and Zach to provide another
finalize
a draft, and we'll provide then an update to you, and we'll discuss if we need a meeting after that. The other item is, did we want to hear how much it would cost for new technology?
Oh, yeah.
From the guy who's from down there where it's been snowing the last couple days?
Snowing the last couple of days.
In Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's 16 inches in just yesterday alone. I was talking to Mom about it. But
you moved here to the banana belt, aren't you?
It's becoming the tropics. I will say, commissioners, I came unprepared to be able to give you some exact figures. I haven't looked at this for quite some time, but what I recollect, and I can come back with some further information and send an updated email to the three of you, but the testing equipment is still being developed out there. There are some off-the-shelf products now. We're going to be looking at a few thousand, probably $2,500 to $5,000 for a unit is kind of the ballpark I remember seeing before, but as these more companies are getting into this and starting to create and develop these units, maybe the cost of that will probably be decreased. But I can certainly come back with a little bit more rock solid information, given a little more time. Then,
is there training involved, Conrad?
Absolutely. We'd want to make sure that our inspectors would be able to go through some training classes offered by NIST, especially given that, and it might more involve, I don't believe NIST has classes for this yet, but it might involve other states that are actually operating this currently. One that comes to mind at this point is California. They are utilizing this technology now for some of their charging units. But certainly for not only the regulatory side, but the safety aspect side of it as well, for the inspectors to have training on the equipment and how to properly use that equipment.
All right, very good.
So do you guys think we need to have another meeting or just look at the draft?
Look at the draft first and then make a determination. If it's minor in nature and it's consistent with the conversation, then I'd say maybe not, or even.
So I'm trying to schedule a meeting tomorrow afternoon, so I should save. I'd like to not take time that might work for you guys if you want to tentatively not schedule it, but save a half an hour. Then I'll avoid that time.
Tentatively not schedule it.
Tentatively hold a half an hour.
Oh, okay.
Is what I meant to say.
My afternoon is pretty well occupied with a phone long discussion, probably till more like 3:30, something like that.
You're talking tomorrow. What time does it have to be in on Friday, Jack?
It has to be in by the end of the day on Friday.
So we would even have, tomorrow, anytime tomorrow, or actually just about any time on Friday would work as well for me.
Okay, so I'll tentatively hold it later tomorrow afternoon. I'll do my meeting the same time you are earlier.
Tomorrow?
Friday would be futile for a meeting, because the point of a meeting would be that we might want to alter it some. And if we do that, they need time to fix it then and then still get it in. So we have to decide this by tomorrow.
I was going to say there is some legwork and paperwork involved as well, so if we can have some decision by tomorrow afternoon, that would be ideal.
Yeah, take a look and then see if we're on the same page in terms of putting it forward or not. So, yeah, look forward to seeing what it is.
Let's go at like 3 or 3:30, if that's all right with you.
Tentatively, yeah.
And then if we look at it, nobody needs a meeting. We're all just fine with this. We can cancel it too, right?
Sure. Well, I guess then I would need some sort of, you guys have delegated me the ability to go ahead and go submit it, but I'll then. Yes, I said you have. And so I'll move forward with the draft. And if I, again, hear any sort of opposition to it, then we'll ensure that we have the discussion in the meeting. If not, then after Brian and I have reviewed it, we'll plan on moving forward and just doing it if we do not hear any opposition from the commission.
You guys will review it, send it to us. No opposition, go forward.
Right.
Opposition, we meet tomorrow at like 3:30.
Yep.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll go under the presumption that what we did is acceptable.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, then I think we've got this one covered. We've got another one that will follow, another meeting, but we're adjourned on this. Thanks, everyone. What was the...